Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the inaugural As the Heel Turns Pro Wrestling Podcast. I'll be your host for today, at least. Alex Lee, Big Al, as they used to call me in high school. Let's start introductions here, guys. Let them know a little bit about ourselves. First, the most handsome man in the pro wrestling podcast industry. Connor, would you like to tell us some words about yourself?
Well, that was very flattering, Alex. Thank you. My name's Connor. I'm from Midland, Ontario, small town in northern Ontario. I fell in love with wrestling when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I'd watch it late at night when my parents didn't know. And yeah, my dad brought me to my first wrestling event when I was about 7 or 8 years old in Midland, Ontario. It's just an independent company. And I got the privilege of watching textbook Tyson Dukes when he was still young and upcoming. And ever since then, I fell in love with the sport. And yeah, I've been watching it ever since. Pass it over to Dario Passarelli.
Thank you very much, Connor. I like the way you said that. In your room while your parents weren't noticing it. There's always something innately wrong with wrestling, isn't there?
Exactly.
It just appears to be. It's something that has to be done in dark corners, something that nobody ever talks about. I've been watching wrestling for, I can say it now, decades. And there are times when, yes, I'd be afraid to admit, I used to work at IBM. And I'll tell you one thing about, used to work at IBM, and we used to have all these training classes we have to go to, and there's always an icebreaker thing. And there was always, tell us something that nobody knows about you. And what I would always say is, I watch wrestling. It was a badge of honor. So I'm here. I love a lot of things too about wrestling in terms of enjoy watching it. I get a kick out of it. It's a laugh. And I don't think there's anything embarrassed about. So that's what I like to see this podcast, is to remove the stigma that wrestling is bad.
Social warrior here. Thanks, Dario. I forgot to mention that Dario Pop Passarelli is, of course, on loan from the fellow Centennial College Sports Radio Network podcast, The Pop and Joe Show with Joe, the Narcissist Nursa. I guess I should say a little bit about myself. So I'm Alex Lee, and I don't really have a first memory as far as it comes to wrestling. I'm sure something involving Hulk Hogan or the Macho Man. I think Bret Hart was my first real pro wrestling hero. I don't know if I ever got attached to Hogan, but yeah, definitely a Bret Hart style. And that sort of thing is carried over into my modern viewership, where I consider myself to be old school, even though I really came up with most people really getting into the Attitude Era and Stone Cold and, you know, decidedly non-old school type booking and programming. But as I've gotten a little bit older, I do enjoy sort of more traditional style wrestling. With that out of the way, we thought we'd start in the most simple way that most wrestling fans communicate these days. Did you see Raw last night?
Monday Night Raw.
That's right, Monday Night Raw. Did you see Raw last night? That is the hello of the professional wrestling fan. Connor, did you see Raw last night?
I did, Alex.
What did you think of Triple H's return?
I thought it was long overdue. I think the Kane being in charge was run its course, and it was good to see Triple H back last night and being in charge of the Authority again.
Dario?
As all-time favorite wrestlers go, Triple H is up there for me. I think he adds an element to the show, and even now in his persona as the Authority, he's a likable person to hate, if that even makes any sense whatsoever. But I enjoy hating him. I enjoy the fact that with the Authority, they have such a way of being right, and yet you still hate them.
Exactly.
And nobody else can pull it off as well as Triple H. So very happy he's back, and glad to see what he's doing with WWE.
Did you two enjoy his match with Sting at WrestleMania?
I like the intros. I think the match was a little overrated, to be honest. It was when did DX come in? About 10 minutes into the match.
Early, I think even earlier.
Even earlier than that. It wasn't much going on between H and Sting before that. It was kind of just like a helper to throw DX out there and trying to push the match along.
And you know what? That wasn't going to steal the show.
No.
Their wrestling match wasn't going to steal the show. I think we're past the days of him and The Undertaker, putting on quite a performance. But what they did with the story was, I didn't expect it. And for somebody that's followed the business for as long as I have, you know, back in the late 90s, who didn't want to see DX go up against NWO. I mean, it was our Mayweather-Pacquiao just 10 years too late, right?
Whoa, now that's very topical, not entirely accurate, but a fine reference.
How is it not accurate?
A fine reference, Pop. I bring it up because Triple H starts off Raw in a segment with Kane and Seth Rollins and J&J Security. And what he does is essentially does a very not heel-like booking. He books them into matches and situations that get some pops from the... Oh, we should have mentioned, sorry, Raw was in Cincinnati, Ohio. Get some big pops from the Cincinnati crowd. And the whole time I'm thinking, wow, if only Sting had stopped this guy from showing up tonight. It really made that otherwise somewhat enjoyable Sting-Triple H match even more pointless. But I thought it was very odd how they booked him in his return to get cheers. I thought there would be some sort of swerve or twist near the end, and nothing came up. So,
no, I mean, am I the only one who actually believes that Triple H wants what's best for business?
Dario. Oh, Pop.
I had to go there. I had to go there.
Connor, what do you think? I think, I mean, do you think it's a little bit overstated how there's been a lot of comments about him? He has an ego. I think anyone who's been a top star in wrestling does. Do you think it's overstated how much his ego is and that it hurts the business? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I don't think it hurts the business. There's not really... I hate to say it, but there's not many guys bringing the business along right now. Triple H is one of those guys. Brock Lesnar was one of those guys until they got suspended. Rollins is going to be one of those guys. He's probably there already. We can argue about that. Other than that, there's not really that many egos that are bringing this business along right now.
I disagree entirely that he has an ego. In the sense of the way you're asking the question reminds me of the ego that, let's say, Hogan had back in the day when his career has run its course. Because I look at it and go, you know what? I would have enjoyed Sting winning that match, but I understand why Triple H won. Wasn't because that he had to win. I think it was because Raw beat Nitro. WWE beat WCW. If you look in the past, who has Triple H actually beat? He lost 2 out of 3 against Brock Lesnar. I think he's done more in terms of putting over talent than having to win and be dominant like a Hogan was in the past.
He has definitely put over talent. One of the main beefs with him, one that I have with him, is I do feel he interjects himself into angles that have nothing to do with him now. CM Punk was a good example. Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton were having a feud, and then he also had to get involved in that. He always seems to involve himself, and again, I think that's only natural. I don't think he does it maliciously, but I think there is that part of him that cannot let go of being in the spotlight, and he definitely sometimes he enhances those angles, don't get me wrong, but also I do feel it goes out of his way to put himself in there so he can be part of those massive reactions that some of these angles and feuds are getting.
I don't think it's him putting himself in the spotlight. I think it's what Dario said. He's just trying to push those people, right? So if a big name like Triple H is in there, he's obviously going to be pushing the talent because everyone's going to be watching because Triple H is involved, right? That's what my
argument is. I think some of these angles did not need him, but he felt they did. He always feels that they do.
And I said, we can't tell in terms of how those angles will play out, but my ex-girlfriend, who cannot stand or could not stand wrestling, started watching because of, more than anybody else, what Triple H and Stephanie McMahon did to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan would not be as big a star had it not been for the hell that Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Randy Orton, but the authority put to him. When he got beat up, and I mean beat up good, that's what brings people more back to wanting him to have his moment, his WrestleMania moment when he won, and you have that feel-good moment. And I think Triple H, that's what he did.
I would be fine with that if it hadn't happened on 3 straight weeks of Raws and SmackDowns. That was my only... It needed to happen once, and it happened on like 3 straight... I remember it was a dreadful stretch of Raws. It was horrible.
No, for you it was horrible.
For many people it was horrible.
Yeah, well, what do many people know? You go back in the day when storylines stretched out months, and in this, you know, Twitter, Instagram, I need my 3-second fix right now world, you can't develop the storylines as well as you did. And I thought that Daniel Bryan Authority storyline, which lasted months, was phenomenal. I thought the John Cena with Brock Lesnar, again, over a few pay-per-views, you need time to develop a story. You need air.
But the Brock Lesnar Cena thing is the opposite of the Daniel Bryan thing, because the Brock Cena Lesnar thing was so good because we had so little interaction between them on TV. The Daniel Bryan thing was the same thing every week, and it got very tiresome. And I don't think it needed it.
Okay.
Yeah, but
you're wrong.
But I know what you're saying. I don't blame them. It is hard to book. You know, it is difficult to book original creative every week. But I don't think that's an excuse for failure. I think they could always have done a better job. I think if you go back and watch those Raws that I'm talking about, you'll see what I'm talking about, the repetition. It was very brutal and boring to watch. And I think in a lot of eyes, it made Daniel Bryan look weak and not like an underdog. It just made him look weak. There's a difference. And that's my opinion on that, though.
So speaking to another feud that's gone on too long, Rusev and John Cena, what do you guys feel about this? The match is coming up this Sunday, the I Quit match. You think it's time to end this feud between
them?
Yeah.
I think it's gone the right length.
Crush the feud.
Yeah. It's. I've never been a Rusev backer. Not so much in terms of his wrestling skill. I think he's great there. I've lived through the Volkov days. I've lived through the days when Mother Russia was, you know, enemy number one, and the Iron Sheik, you know, USA, poo, kind of thing.
All your accents are very similar.
Spot on.
They're all from
similar,
some...
spot on. I can't act.
They're both correct.
but you know why? I just thought of it. It's because it was the Iron Sheik doing Volkov,
right,
and the Iron Sheik.
I think they're all hailing from some generic non-American evil country is really
but,
what matters.
And I think that's the point. Yeah. I'm done with the whole one country bad, one country good thing. And that's.
But ever since I started watching it, there hasn't been anything like that, really. Other than you could Muhammad Hassan...
Which didn't last long.
Like, that didn't last
very
long. That hasn't been really anything else to do with another country being feuding with America.
It was surprisingly fresh for what is essentially the oldest gimmick, the oldest feud in the book. But it was surprisingly fresh because, as Connor says, we had not seen it in a while.
You know what? It's this whole pro-America thing.
That's just us being Canadian.
Us being Canadian, just a little bit, you know, drop the flag. A little overblown, and I'll leave it at that.
It's a classic story. I have no problem with the feud. I agree with what Connor says, though, that maybe it's gone on too long. For me, I think it's gone on the right length, but it could definitely, if people thought it went on too long, I don't argue with that. It's been going on for quite some time.
Well, this is going to be, what, the fourth pay-per-view between them?
I think so, yes.
No.
Yeah. Fourth one.
Really?
They started in February.
No. Probably third.
No, Cena lost to Rusev in February.
He beat him at Fastlane.
Yeah.
And then Cena got him back at Mania.
Yeah, and then they fought Extreme Rules.
Oh, did they fight at Extreme Rules?
Yeah.
Was it just a regular
rematch? It was the four post...
The chain match.
Chain match.
This is correct, yes. So this will be the fourth straight.
And I don't know what you guys thought about that match. I thought it was the stupidest comp.
Again,
it didn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. What I the only thing that I've liked about the feud so far... Almost, he says with his head held low.
Lana,
is this John Cena open challenges week after
Fantastic.
Week? I mean that's the non-Rusev angle.
Yeah, you don't need Rusev for that.
Well, that's my point. Right?
Dario, we'll get to that in a minute. I want to say one more thing about Rusev. I do worry. Unlike you, I am a fan of Rusev, both his character and his ring work. But this whole thing does remind me of the feud that John Cena had some years ago with the with Umaga, rest in peace. Very similar monster type heel. Sort of a slobbering, brutish character, and they had several good matches on consecutive pay-per-views. But after the feud was over, Umaga, he did go on to one more big money match at Mania. But other than that, there was kind of nowhere for him to go. And I like Rusev a lot, but after this, and especially since they're heading towards a split with him and Lana, I don't know what there is to do with Rusev.
And you know what? It took me all of 5 seconds to come up with an idea of what we can do with Rusev.
Oh, dear. Pop idea kind of. We're gonna get a sound effect for
Do
this
you
one.
Do you smell the smoke? If this was a smoke cast, you would smell the smoke of my brain working. We're heading to the split between Lana and Rusev. Rusev fights for Lana to get her back, and he turns face. I'm just saying it can go there.
Connor, how do you think this payback match is going to end?
I think Cena's gonna win. I don't know how he's going to win, but I think he's going to win. And I think it's going to be the end of Rusev. Not the end of Rusev, but the end of him at this position?
The best theory I've heard, and I think they actually could be heading in this direction if they want to be creative about it, is that Rusev physically threatens Lana, and then Jat makes Cena say, "I quit to save her," you know, be all Superman as usual, and then he says, "I quit to save her," which was an idea that had been used in I Quit matches before. And I think that'd be very neat, and it could either, that way you can transition into Lana becoming this star, which apparently they're very high on her, or...
Isn't she already the star of the two?
Well, they want her to be a solo star. They want her to be on her own.
But the thing is, if she becomes a solo star, does she keep the fake Russian accent?
How do you explain that? That's the other thing. People said, how do you explain that?
Well, I'm sure W can come up with a way, but when you say a solo star, does that mean that she wrestles?
As far as I know, she does.
I want to see her in a wrestling uniform.
Yeah, we all do.
I don't think she would be wrestling. I think she would just find another guy to manage.
As far as I know, she is not particularly trained
in
wrestling.
She's a model and an actress.
Right.
She's not a wrestler.
The good thing is her accent is so horrible that it's clearly fake, so at least they can explain that maybe she'd been faking it, and we would all believe it in a second because it is terrible.
We knew it was fake.
They can do the what Triple H did to Kofi Kingston.
Oh, and just be like, what happened to your accent?
What happened during a live shoot? By the way.
Another thing I hate about Triple H, by the way.
Oh, come on. He's great that way.
He's the only one who's allowed to do that. Anytime anyone else does it, they get in trouble. No, I don't approve. By the way, I'm a Triple H fan. I'm sorry. I should say.
No, you're not.
I am a Triple H fan. I think he in ring, I think he's one of the best. He's one of the best guys of all time. Yeah. No question. No question. But I don't think anyone can have that much power and not get a little, you know, funky. Moving on. We mentioned how great it is that Cena got the U.S. title and led to all these open challenges. Connor, let's talk about the former Adrian Neville, the man that gravity forgot, Neville.
First of all, I'm sick of them keep saying the man that gravity forgot. I don't think it's necessary to say it every single time they say his name. The commentators, Booker and Cole and JBL, they just keep hammering over the head, and I think it's too much.
I think we're going to have an entirely new segment just on the commentators alone, but continue.
Neville's been outstanding on Raw. Every match he's been in, he's been killing it. The fans are behind him, but I'm afraid that they are pushing him too fast. They could be pushing him too fast in the sense that, like, we don't want another Roman Reigns thing to happen, right? They pushed him way too fast. The fans turned on him. I don't think their fans are going to turn on Neville, but I just think they're pushing him way too fast, and he's not ready for it right now.
I'll say this. I'm not worried because I know it won't go in a straight line. I know this push they have for him now, it is eventually going to stall out, and not unintentionally. It's going to stall out at some point. Maybe this feud with Barrett, I don't know, is the peak for now. And then he is actually, sadly, going to be in a diminished role at some point, and then they'll find a way to bring him back up. That's, you know, pushes generally don't go in a straight line unless you're Roman Reigns, of course. But generally pushes don't go in a straight line, and I think this is just the beginning of his journey, and I just love that he's getting so much TV and ring time on Raw and SmackDown.
He's one of the best wrestlers on Raw right now.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Because I'm not too familiar with him. I don't follow NXT as much. How's his mic work? Because I haven't really heard him.
Yeah, not good at all.
Okay. Well, then...
He could work on it, though.
Hold on a second. People that don't have good mic work, and Brock Lesnar used to be really sad, although I really like the little things that he's done.
He has his moments, but he is horrible.
Is this where Lana comes in?
I was about to say, are you suggesting that there is a free agent manager out there, a soon-to-be free agent manager?
I'm just saying. But again, yes. You know, more than anything else, I seem to hate the WWE fans more than anything else.
Whoa. Pop, what's going on? What is your beef with the WWE fans?
Well, the way they're treating Reigns, number one, is unwarranted.
They're getting a little better. It's really certain crowds that are still being, like, rude about it. He was getting a decent reaction in Cincinnati the other night. But he was up against Ambrose at times, so that might have been the problem.
The way they treat Roman Reigns is unwarranted. The way they treated Batista, I thought, was unwarranted. It had nothing to do with him. It's not his fault that they booked him to win the... the 30-man battle royal to go on. I mean, they're blaming him for that. They're blaming Roman Reigns for
that. I think when they boo these guys, though, they are also essentially saying something to management. It's really their only way to communicate to management as well.
Which is fine, but then stop. You know, boom once he won, but they continue to do that, and it gets to the point where there's very little to do with Roman Reigns, and I think they put the pressure on management to make bad decisions, like having Roman Reigns have to fight Daniel Bryant and to qualify to I mean, I thought that was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought that was a good decision.
No.
I didn't have a problem with that.
I had a problem with that as vindicating. I mean, I understand you have to listen to the WWE universe, but in a lot of cases, Triple H is right. They have to tell the universe what's good for them.
It's not Triple H. Again, I think probably I don't give enough credit to Triple H. I think you give too much credit to Triple H. So, you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle. But I do agree that the Yes Movement, as awesome as it was, it did lead to a bad path because the whole WWE universe was essentially a squeaky wheel. And, you know, they gave them the squeaky wheel gets the oil. They gave them the oil. And now the wheel, whenever they want something, they just keep getting more and more squeaky because they think, oh, it worked once. Now it'll work again. And you're right. Sometimes the company has to just stay the course, has to have a plan and say, okay, maybe they're not reacting the way we want right away, but there's a reason we're the WWE and they're sitting in the stands paying for a ticket. Let's go with what we know. We've been doing this for decades, right?
I don't think it really started with Reigns, though, because the fans pushed Daniel Bryant for a title match. So it hasn't been, it's not like it's a new theory of the fans getting what they want. It's been going on for a while now. And I just think that, like you said, the authority needs to, or Triple H needs to just get a grasp on things and not be persuaded by things like that.
Okay, I know that I probably led everybody off topic here, but I have to go back to, you know, the fans and say the one point. It's been comical. I've absolutely loved the way he's handled it, but the way they treat John Cena too. By the people who supposedly know wrestling. But we're getting way off topic.
But those people, as long as they're... No, and it's a good point. It segues back into the match because Neville obviously was very over and he was getting cheered a lot during the match. Cena was getting booed. And as I told you, I was following on social media and there was a lot of, oh, what a great match. Neville carried Cena. A lot of retired wrestlers were complimenting both guys. And some people were saying, well, let's see how Cena does if he wrestled someone else. And to me, I'm thinking, well, he's only been wrestling great matches for the last, like, 10 years. But you're right. He needs more evidence, right? Connor, what did you think of the match itself?
The match was good. All of Neville's matches so far have been fantastic. His presence in the ring, his agility, his moveset is unbelievable. And there was a couple moves that stood out for me last night. When Cena was on the outside and there was, like, a springboard backflip corkscrew
I have no names for some of the things he does.
It was unbelievable, some of the stuff that he can do
the
in the
stunt.
Ring the stunt, yeah, basically. And then another move, the variation of the red arrow off the second rope.
Yeah, I believe it was, I thought it was the red arrow on Twitter. I apologize to anyone who reads my Twitter, which is like five people. It was a Phoenix splash.
All right,
I read that too, whatever.
the thing that is great about Neville is he's one of those guys you can see clearly comes from a gymnastic background. You know, he's got the really crazy just muscles all over his body and can fly around. But his wrestling fundamentals are actually really, really good. And he knows how to wrestle both an indie-style match. I was very lucky to see him in Japan several years ago. And he can wrestle that sort of crazy, non-stop, insane moves, guys kicking out of, you know, getting thrown in their head and kicking out of that. He can do that style, but clearly you can see him doing the, you know, more story-based WWE style, and he's perfect. He has no problem adapting to it. His high flying is amazing. His mat work is excellent. In ring, he's very, very, very strong.
He even, like you said, strength. He even showed his strength last night.
He is powerful.
Picking Cena up and power bombing him. That was unexpected for me.
And I think that's one of the things that needs to happen for Neville. We don't want to see him get burned out. And by burnt out, I don't mean him. I mean the crowd going, oh, wow, he just did another 360, who cares, kind of thing, which is sad because every time he does it, it should be going, wow. But they need to introduce little things like, oh, he's got like a bit of a power game kind of thing, and oh, he's got a little... It's going to take time, and they need time to in terms of develop it, but they have to show a bit more rather than just the same old, same old.
Bring something else up with the flips and stuff. What happened to Lucha Dragons? I thought they were getting a good push for the tag team division, and they just kind of haven't been on there for a couple weeks.
I think there's just only so many hours. You know, Raw's only 3 hours long. There's just not enough time to show. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with SmackDown or Superstars or Main Event. I'm assuming
anything other than Raw
on some of these programs. But you know, they'll have their time. They're definitely, management has to know that they've been getting a good reaction so far.
And maybe it is just, hey, these guys have been working well. We really appreciate it. We're going to give you a chance to come up, do the big show, and now they're back down there.
Dario, by the way, I just want to say again, I really like the Lana idea. I think Lana and Neville would be a great pair. Maybe a little awkward at first, but and it doesn't even have to be a long-term thing. Just something to help him transition to whatever the next sort of phase of his character is, right?
And then Rusev turns face and wins Lana back. Gee, we go back to my great idea. Thank you. No matter how much you slice it and dice it, Alex, you're always going to turn around and make me right. And I appreciate you so much for that.
Moving, let's see how Pop the Genius thinks about this. Macho Mandow. Pop, hold on. Let's go to Connor first. Macho Mandow. Oh, actually, let's go to a comment from our good friend John Chidley Hill first, who said, and I quote, "Macho Mandow is an embarrassment." Connor, do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Not just the character itself.
Oh, sorry. Should we explain what Macho Mandow is?
So it was Damian Sandow. His new character this week on Raw was Macho Mandow. He was teaming, or wasn't? He was fighting Axelmania, and now they're teaming up this weekend for the Payback pre-show. I don't think it's an embarrassment of the character itself. I think it's an embarrassment for Sandow. Because I think he's got so much more potential than gimmicks like this. He's been doing this all his career. I think he's ready for some sort of push.
I really not going to take anything away from his in-ring ability. I just have a feeling that... Do I have to say it again? The WWE Universe isn't ready for Damian Sandow. Pure plain... Damian Sandow. I don't think they want to see that. I think they're going to get what they want, which is the gimmicks. And we all know that it's not going to end well for him. Whether this turns out to be a long thing, time thing for him as Mandow or not, I will say one thing, though, that I found humorous, in that he came in, he wasn't the genius. What was his original...
he was a genius type character, like an intellectual.
Damian Sandow, what did he have? I forgot if he had whatever.
I cannot recall if there was an actual like.
He wore purple. That's all I remember.
Yeah, just yes, the name Damian Sandow suggests arrogance.
Oh, educate the masses. That was his thing. Yeah. He's going to educate the masses, which was sort of like the Lenny Poffa genius role. And I thought it was kind of nice that he did the Lenny Poffa genius, and then his brother Macho Man, kind of the same thing. So that was the only thing I tied into it. But I don't expect it to go much further, and I really hope they do something else with Sandow like you do. Honestly, though, I think the only way he survives if it is comical.
That's why I think like the only gimmicks that have been working for him is the Mizdow. So how awesome would it have been if he beat Miz for the name? Do you think that would have kept going, or do you think that would have died out too?
Well, you know how I would have done that is... I would have had him beat him for the name and then say, "I don't want the name, I'm Damian Sandow." And then he could be himself. As it is, they had him lose. I don't even remember if it was on pay-per-view.
No, it was on Raw.
The match was on Raw, and I thought this was a pay-per-view worthy feud.
I agree.
And I think they kind of mishandled it. I agree the window wasn't that big. It wasn't like a can't-miss angle for Sandow.
This wasn't a main event match, but that would have been one of those solid mid-card matches.
For sure.
Would have loved to have had it to a pay-per-view.
It is a draw. It is absolutely a draw. And I think he should have won and then said, "I take them now that I own the Miz name, I throw it down, I am Damian Sandow, I'm my own man." And then I don't know what you do with him after, so maybe it's better it didn't go that way, but that's how I would have liked to have seen that one end.
Agreed, it was a missed opportunity, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. I wouldn't say interesting to see it happens, let me rephrase that. And let's just hopefully it quickly dies a quick death and move on from there.
Just a couple more things, boys. Moving from comedy to something a little more somber, Mr. Daniel Bryan having to forfeit the IC title. I feel like we went through this last year, obviously, with the world title, and it's just a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing, but where else was he going to go? Really, I don't think he's going to get another title push for a while.
How can they? He's not healthy. How can they?
Not like even if he was healthy. I think the world title reign that he had was
a
month.
Yeah,
it could have been
his push. I think that was a one time deal for for a while now, and I think the IC title was a good spot for him, and it opens the door for younger superstars to come in and battle for the IC title. Like, you have Neville, like we were talking about earlier. I think he would be a good candidate for the IC title.
For the IC title, if Daniel is healthy, he's in the world title match. Period.
I agree, and I'll also go as far to say that if he's healthy, he will be a world champion again someday.
Not only a world champion.
I disagree.
For me, he's going to be world champion, and I think he's going to be popular because not only within wrestling, but I'm trying to remember now who texted me. It was you. Was it you at the Blue Jay game?
Yep.
And what were they doing in the
They were
the
doing
stands?
A yes chant right behind me in the fifth deck of the Rogers Center.
And that's my point. It was a crossover. He's healthy.
I honestly think it was just one guy making everyone else do it, and no one else knew what was going on.
But you look at the fans, and they eat that stuff up. They still do it. Even when he's not in there or nowhere near there, I think he would have been rewarded with a huge run as champion, as world champion. And I think he was very believable in his lead up to it. After he broke up with Kane in the Team Hell No, which, by the way, I thought was fantastic. But after he broke up from that, he started wrestling in a style and manner that was kamikaze. And it was fun to watch. And I would pay money to see that as a main event. So I think he would have been a huge draw. I just wish him all the best and stay healthy.
The only unfortunate thing about that style is it reminds me a little bit of Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade, the kind of guys who, from the first time you saw them, you were like, there's no way this person can maintain this style of play. And sure enough, once those guys' bodies started breaking down, it was like, well, I know why. And Daniel Bryan's the same way. You know, we hear about all these injuries. Anyone who's seen him work over the last 2 years is like, how can this guy be doing this at every show and not be getting injured? And sure enough, poor guy now has suffered some pretty serious debilitating injuries. So, as you said, Dario, let's hope he gets better.
I also see Dean Ambrose as one of those characters as well.
Yeah, yep. I agree.
If he keeps going the way he's going, he's not going to be in there very long.
Yep, you'll definitely see problems with him in the future. Let's hope not, though. Speaking of the IC title again, let's just quickly touch upon it is apparently going to be defended in the now newly brought back Elimination Chamber Sunday, May 31st. Sunday, May 31st.
Whoa,
in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What is
whoa,
up?
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Alarm bells are ringing for Pop.
You said there's a pay-per-view on Sunday, May 31st?
It is not a pay-per-view, technically, I guess. It's a special event exclusively on the WWE Network. In fact, you can't get it on pay-per-view.
Oh.
Why are your senses tingling?
Well, because usually it's like one pay-per-view per month.
Yep.
And when I say pay-per-view, I mean one big match. But now they're having two because we have one coming up this Sunday.
I think they're going to start doing this more often.
Like,
so I think
with the King of the Ring. Yeah.
I think they're going to start weeding out the pay-per-view, the cable companies, and just have it exclusively on the WWE Network.
That's the ideal, I think, yeah.
That's their end goal.
For sure.
I don't know how long it's going to take to do that, but we got to come to our grips and...
Yeah, but you can lose. Won't you lose tons of money? I'm not going to say you will. I'm just guessing, assuming, which I probably shouldn't do, but aren't you... They make big money off pay-per-views on WrestleMania.
Is it the WWE making money, though, or is it the cable company making money?
Oh, no, I think WrestleMania makes...
Both, but this way, the whole beauty of the network was, in theory, they were cutting out the middleman,
yeah.
And
all the money
goes to the WWE.
So, are they going to change their, you know, $9.99? I brought it up. I did. Format?
No reaction on my face, brother.
And charge for this separately, or...
No.
I don't think
Mind you,
can.
They're not charging for it now, but...
WWE Network, free for the month of May. Not in Canada, though.
That
just
correct?
Grinds my gears.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I was not aware.
Now you know why I hate the whole John Cena. That's the main reason.
Let's get a step back from the bigger issue, and I just want to say I've never seen a bad Elimination Chamber match. I'm glad they use it sparingly, so I'm glad that they're only bringing it back, and hopefully... don't bring it back for like another year or even 2 years. I think it's a great gimmick match. Again, never seen a bad one. It's terribly unsafe, unfortunately, so I do hate to support such a brutal match, but I am excited for it coming back.
Do you like it for the IC title, though?
It seems... Here's the weird thing. Sorry, I'm just reading this now. The U.S. title and the World Heavyweight title will be defended on that card, but not in the Elimination Chamber. So it is peculiar. Yes, I agree. It is very strange.
Both belts are not going to be...
They will be defended at the show, at this event, but not in an... There will only be one Elimination Chamber. They could change their minds. This is just 2 weeks from now. But as of now, only the Intercontinental title will be in the Elimination Chamber.
And who's fighting for that?
You know they're going to throw in probably Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler, Wade Barrett, Neville. They have a lot of good mid-carders who can fight.
They can fill, but from what I read, as a wrestler, you're never the same after one of those matches.
They are brutal. Dara, you said, as you were saying, two events this month. The other event this Sunday, Payback. WWE Payback. What are our initial thoughts? Should we jump right into the main event, or would you like to build up to that? What do you guys think?
There's a lot to say about the main event.
That's probably one of the only matches worth really talking about.
Let's get right to it. Let's go.
Let's go there, yeah.
Who's going to win, boys?
Who's going to win, or who do you hope wins?
Both.
Both. Who should win, who will win?
I can't envision a scenario where the belt leaves Seth Rollins' hands. But as we affectionately have called our show... He'll turn. The Shield reunites.
That's what
I'm hoping for.
Okay there.
I dream, Connor. I dream. Okay, and yes, I am fine.
Pop almost blew a gasket.
But I can dream because it's wrestling.
That's true.
And I dream that the Shield reunites and they're heels again.
I think the Shield will reunite at some point. It's not going to be this Sunday though. I think it'll be once Triple H is sick of Seth Rollins and the Authority. Then they'll reunite.
I'm mixed on it. I think them reuniting could be really cool. I think the show is definitely missing. I love Seth Rollins. I love Ambrose. I even kind of like Roman Reigns. I like a lot of the guys they have in the mix in the main event. But none of them to me feels like a superstar, you know?
Yeah.
And that's fine. Maybe we're just not in that stage, the talent cycle.
You need a pause. You need a pause.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's Brock, obviously, but Brock is not around. You know, he is definitely a superstar. He is not around. So putting together a thing that's the sum is greater than the pieces, the Shield is a superstar stable. I do consider them to be a draw. But at the same time, I also feel all three guys have done so well without it. I don't know. I'm mixed on it. Guys, what do you think?
I go back to... over the past year, in terms of what 2 years, what your exciting matches are. And I thought there was one storyline that I don't think they could have developed further at the time, but I would love to see again. And did I miss something? I'm going to get back to it, to what my storyline is, but I'm going to take a step. Did I miss something on Monday? Who did Fandango fight, wrestle?
Are you actually asking because you want us to bring up this dull segment?
Yeah.
He went up against Eric Rowan.
Right. And who helped him?
Harper. Luke Harper.
Are they back together? Did I miss something?
They are back together.
Out of nowhere, for no reason whatsoever. Just as there was
no reason whatsoever. The reason is because Rowan wasn't getting any attention. One liked him. Well, yes, they got to put him back together.
Yes. Okay. And I'm assuming, because I missed the segment entirely.
Well, if you blinked, you missed the segment. I would say they're heels.
They are heels, yes, most definitely.
So... with that as the background, one of the favorite matches that I've seen in the past 2 years was the Shield against the Wyatt family. And I would love to see more of that. How that works up or not. So do I want to see the Shield get back together? Yes. Are they, I think, of that nature? I mean, their fight against Evolution, I thought was fantastic. Loved the way that how they built that up. And by the way, Triple H losing again 3-0 in that, just putting over the Shield. Just saying.
You do not want to go down this road.
But I like to see the Wyatts against the Shield.
The part of me that loves good matches would love to see these guys feud again. But the part of me that hates to see regressive booking, I'd be a little frustrated. Because I feel like I wish Wyatt was a little bit further along than he is now, and I wish Harper was a little further along. But you're right. If there's nothing for them to do, you know, that would certainly be open. But again, back to the point, Connor, do you want to see the Shield, aside from the great matches aspect, do you want to see the Shield reunite?
Not this weekend, I don't. I think they have too many good storylines going with now, the Authority, and I think the only way that... I don't think they're going to get back to this weekend. Definitely not. But the only reason I say that is because they have a good thing going as singles. I don't think they need to reunite at this particular moment. Because Ambrose got... He was in Cincy last night, but he's been getting some good feedback from the fans.
Big reactions.
Reigns is getting reactions in the opposite way.
There are many crowds that are pro, and according to house show reports, he is very, very popular with the the televised crowd and the crowd that goes to house shows is very different. He apparently is one of the most well received guys at house shows and in general. So,
and once Rollins relinquishes the title, which isn't going to happen in the near future, I don't think.
And it shouldn't.
I don't think they're going to get back together unless he doesn't have the title.
So Connor believes they won't reunite and they shouldn't. Fair enough. Dare, you think they should, but...
Oh, they definitely won't.
But they definitely won't.
But I'm looking back right now, and if you can take John Cena as the face, although mixed crowd reaction, who really... Because I still having difficulty as Orton as a face. We don't have a very strong face for the world... championship.
I just said Orton is really number one, and that sounds, just saying it, sounds bizarre.
And then Reigns,
he should be a heel.
Reigns is up there too, but mm-hmm. again, I'm having difficulty with him being a face.
And clearly mixed. I just said mixed reaction.
The only one, that, and that's why I believe Daniel Bryan was that.
If he were healthy, yes.
If he was healthy, he was that. Yeah. So we're missing that, and I think they're missing one opportunity to push somebody up there, and I don't know why they're not, and that's Dolph Ziggler. I think he can morph into... I think he's got the in-ring to do it. I think he's got decent enough to good mic skills to be able to pull it off. And I'm just wondering, because there's a vacuum right there at that position. And they're filling it in with heels.
The only problem is he's almost too good of an employee. The fact that he is so good in every segment he does, I think it makes creative lazy. And I think they think... oh, we can throw Dolph whatever, and Dolph's going to make it work, as opposed to them rewarding him for his hard work. It's very backwards and stupid, I think, but he's not the first superstar they've done that to. He certainly won't be the last, and I agree with you. There's no reason he should not be a big-time face. They just won't commit for whatever reason. Okay. The other show going on this Sunday, we'll touch upon it quickly, just a local show in Etobicoke. For anyone who cares... as they should, because Smash Wrestling is one of the best promotions in Ontario, and I dare say, from my limited experience, one of the best independent promotions in all of North America. Just very quickly, there's going to be a world title match with Chris Hero, Josh Alexander, and Johnny Gargano, the champion. And then there's also an intriguing intergender match with Candice LeRae and Brent Banks. And watch out for this one, it's a sleeper. Trevor Lee and Rich Swann. If you guys have not seen Trevor Lee and Rich Swann, You will be in for a treat if you get a chance to go to the show or check the show out. Check it out on DVD after. So just a little shout out there to Smash Wrestling.
And fantastic promotion.
I have to give a shout out to the Fourth Gun. Went to the last pay-per-view, Smash Wrestling, on Sunday at the Art of War. And wow, what a phenomenal experience. As a wrestling fan, I've never been to an independent until these past couple of months. I had my first one, get that up-close personal feel. Have them, as I said, my favorite highlight right now of my entire wrestling life is having my chair used as a prop, and that's due to Smash Wrestling. So congratulations. You can follow them at Smash Wrestling.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that, Connor, your boy Tyson Dukes. Be wrestling. This will be a rematch. Drew Gulak, who in my opinion is one of the best in-ring workers in all of professional wrestling today, and their first match was fantastic. I think this match is going to be even better. So support independent wrestling wherever you are, whether it's in Ontario or Alberta or, you know,
and
Alaska.
And to add to that, you know, we say independent wrestling, but there are stars there. When we went, who did we see? We saw Robbie E. We saw the Wolves.
We saw Angelina Love in the crowd. Congratulations to Angelina Love and Davey on their engagement. She's a good old Toronto girl.
Cherry Bomb.
Cherry Bomb was not there.
Just waiting for you, Connor.
But she was on Connor's. She was on Connor's mind, I guess. I don't know.
She's always on my mind. She made her debut on TNA a couple weeks ago. It's fantastic. She lost.
She did.
Congratulations to her.
Yep.
Yeah, big ups to Cherry Bomb and all the lady wrestlers out there who are getting their big break or fighting to get their big break. We support you very much, and also independent wrestlers in general.
# Diva, give Divas a chance, which is also
June 6th.
June 17th, I think.
June 6th.
Bad plug on my part. June 6th.
They have their own wrestling show.
All-female show.
All-female show in the afternoon, and later on that evening, I don't know how they did it, and this is for ALS, so on top of it being entertaining, on top of it being fantastic, it's also, you know, you're doing everybody a good turn for having this show, but guys, I'll let you handle it. Who's going to be the special guest on that show?
The one and only Samoa Joe, who I had been screaming at Smash Wrestling. I've been tweeting at them constantly to bring him in. Somewhat of a pipe dream, but ever since I heard his contract was up and he was essentially a free agent, I said, they'd gotten every other big name, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels. Again, Chris Hero has been there multiple times. They've gotten many big stars. Oh, Lance Storm. So I said, let's see if they can get this guy. And sure enough, yeah, for a good cause.
Alex Shelley,
thank you. I forgot. I neglected him because, you know, he hasn't been around for a while, unfortunately. But big, big love for Alex Shelley. And that's going to be a great show. I'm sad. I'll be going to the ALS show. Sadly, I will not be going to the Divas show. So I've been dying to see Portia Perez. And Portia Perez is a very good independent wrestler. She's very cute. And hopefully I will get to see her in person sometime.
So we have, since I'm sitting in the middle between these dudes, we've got a Cherry Bomb fan to my right. We got a Portia Perez.
Also,
left.
Shout out Jennifer Blake, another good Canadian girl.
Which you got to pick one, Alex.
Portia Perez.
Which means now I have to find several. I mean one. I mean more. I mean several. I mean somebody quickly help me end this.
After ending this on such a juvenile note, we'll just say a quick thing.
From the oldest man.
I think the show went okay. And so thanks to anyone who decides to listen to this. We definitely probably went a little bit over time. But please support pro wrestling in all its forms. Watch it on Raw. Watch it at your local gym. Whatever you got to do. And definitely, as Dario has emphasized, don't be embarrassed. It's no more embarrassing than any other, you know, silly guilty pleasure that people have. It's a great show. It's a great art form.
Signing off.
Love you, Mom.
Have a good week, everybody. You can't fight the friction!